Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah. And we're continuing our journey of our chakra exploration with Manipura. And Manipura, you could describe it as a lustrous gem. It's that beautiful sunlight yellow center around the solar plexus.
Makes me think of citrine, which is my favorite stone.
Yeah, that's a nice, yeah, citrine's a nice.
It's a good Manipura stone.
It is. Mm. Yeah. And Manipura is about your will. It's your center of action, if you like. It's where we manifest and take action out in the world. It's our energy levels. It's how dynamic we can be. It's all those things that sort of, I think of the sun when I think of Manipura, and I think of the sun rays sort of shining in all directions out from the solar plexus very dynamically.
Mm.
It's you have to be careful you don't get over enthusiastic. It's easy to burn out.
It would be your center of burnout, really, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Burning the candle at both ends kind of things. Any of those sorts of idioms that would refer to an overactivity and then eventual crash in the solar plexus. Because as we all know, you can't do that forever.
No, but it's certainly your center of motivations. That's where you take action.
Mm.
And there's a nice little quote that I heard recently along the lines of, our life is a result of the choices we put into action. So when you're thinking about, some people are really good planners and have good visions, and some people are good at visioning and not so good at putting things into action.
Yeah.
But we can have the best visions in the world, and if we don't take some steps towards putting it into action, it doesn't really ever become anything more than a vision. I think
that's the missing link that often gets left out of visioning practices. That it's all very well to sort of sit down and meditate on your vision or reflect on it or create a vision board and all those things. They're important steps, because if you don't have a vision or a plan, you won't know where you're going necessarily. Like, it's good to get that concrete, but then you do still have to act on it.
And you do.
And you have to take those steps, and they're often difficult steps. And that's where it's important to have that plan and that vision, because it encourages you to keep going. It gives you that motivation of, oh, yes, this is something I really want. And if you don't have that, well, then you don't know what step to take. But when you've got it is vital that you take that next action. And I found this because I play with oracle cards a little bit. And in terms of my kind of creative career, they've been saying to me that this could have gone, like, could have taken off probably at any point in the last 12 months, but it didn't. And eventually it sort of occurred to me that actually there are steps I need to take here. The universe is not going to sort of give me feedback until I give it something,
It's
And it's a matter of, you need to now step forward and stand behind this entire sort of thing you've built and put it out there. It's not going to go anywhere if you just sort of sneak it sideways into the world and go, oh, they made a thing, No one's going to hear that or see it, doesn't matter how good it is.
That's the will, isn't it? It's like gathering the will. There's a nice sequence in the Drew Energy Block Release series, EBR3, where we do the archer and have the vision out there, but then there's another movement after that, runner into thunderbolt, which is like the action of gathering the will, the strength, the determination, and really, putting that out there with some dynamism.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's exactly what I did.
and
I've done it with each of my, like, because I'm publishing books, in case there are listeners who don't know. I write novels, and I'm looking at sort of starting to really put that out a lot further this year. And with each one I've released, I've done Energy Block Release 3 with it. But this time it was like, okay, this is more about, now I'm starting the more marketing, more talking about it, more networking, more advertising of actually putting my work out there and saying, here's a thing, put my money behind it as well in terms of investing. I've invested a lot of time into these works, but I haven't invested that much financial support. So sort of doing that takes it to a new level. And it's also a very sort of, base chakra activity, really, And I use EBR3 for that, and it's so powerful. You can feel your entire kind of solar plexus center is almost on fire by the end of the sequence if you've been really clear. And this is where it's important to have the vision, because you need something to focus your archer and your thunder runner into thunderbolt on.
Yeah.
Otherwise you've come out of it feeling rather vague and undirected and with a lot of energy and nowhere to use it, which is not a nice feeling. So I would say EBR3 is quite, have a vision first, have a foundation, which is kind of nice in the sense of how we build up through the chakras of, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do with your life. You build that in your sort of first two and your heart, but also it's have that foundation of knowing where you're coming from and what you stand on.
You do. And I think getting sort of a little bit off track, but it isn't, is when you think about the energy block release sequences, and we're talking about three, so obviously there's a one and a two, and I find energy block release one is the real foundational one, and
then it is.
Energy block release two is more about that second chakra, because it's like takes you more into you. It's very much come into your body, and it goes a little bit further. And
it does.
EBR3 is quite heart awakening, but it's got that real Manipura willpower and drive, I suppose. It's got that drive and intention to put it out into the world.
Yeah, it was like, and I've always, like, theoretically I know that, and I've worked with EBR3 before, I've studied it, but but this was the most powerful, like when I've studied it before in terms of, okay, you know, I'm envisaging, you know, health or general prosperity of, you know, abundance and well-being and relationships and so on. That's nice. But this is the first time I've used it to really hone in on a very specific vocational goal that is what I feel my life's work is about. And the feeling after that was just so powerful. It was like I was radiating heat, a lot of heat in the Manipura chakra. Yeah, so very powerful practice to play with.
It is.
I recommend giving it a try, especially if you're working through a difficult, not difficult as in unpleasant, but although that is a part of it, but a challenging goal, a big audacious goal that you have. It's an excellent tool to have in your kit.
It is, yeah, it's really good. And I've had lots of feedback over the years of people that have used it for a specific thing and had good results with it. So there was a bit of an analogy to this sort of sense of will and those first three chakras in a way to an oil lamp, you know, the old-fashioned sort of kerosene lamp, if you like, where you have that little fuel tank in the bottom. And that's like, you know, that's like the base chakra. You've got to have all the materials of foundation to build a fire, so to speak, don't you? You've got to have the wood and the, you know, the kindling and the wood and all placed nicely so that it will light up. So it's like the oil lamp, little fuel tanks like the base. And then the wick is like the sacral center, because that's what's going to take that fuel from the tank up, like the wick, transporting the oil. And if there's no wick, then there's no link to the action. And then Manipura is when you light the flame and then that light expands out and takes that out into action. It's like Manipura light taking that light out into the world. It's sort of like, I like that little analogy of,
I like that too,
those three stages.
I like also that the element of lighting it is an action, though. It's an action you must take. You can have all those pieces and you've got the potential for a flame, but you won't have it if you don't light it.
No. Yeah. And what's that? What is that spark that gets you to that step? What's missing? So, you know, what is the missing thing that is stopping you from perhaps taking that? And so if you think of sometimes doing some yoga that activates, or perhaps if we're thinking about, you know, what we may be talking about is blockages in the system that stop you from sort of moving up and taking that action. And sometimes just to get and do some physical work can help to unblock that, because it opens you up. And I find the seated twist, the seated spinal twist, is really good for that. I quite like that, because I feel that moves from you. I actually tangibly feel that move as I twist from the base upwards. And so that can be a good unblocking sort of posture, the sitting forward bend. I quite like that. And the bow is quite quite opening in that Manipura, in as far as, you know, let that be activated and see what you can ignite. It's almost like getting that ready for ignition. I quite like the bow, and you can do the supported bow over a bolster, but those two I particularly like for having that feeling of really working in that area and creating space is really what we're doing, is clearing some space to allow that light to really bloom from.
I find also that the cobra or the sphinx is quite powerful. It's more it the focus there ends up sort of more in the brow, but I think it can be really helpful if you're trying to connect vision with the solar plexus, in terms of if you're struggling to see something, what the blockage is, perhaps that might be a way to connect it and then translate that new knowledge back into action, which is what it's always about. Like the interplay with the chakras is not just top up to, you know, bottom to the top, and then you're done with the journey. It's a constant interplay going, sort of flowing back and forth between them.
So. Back and forth, But getting getting the will to transform that into action, and then to actually complete the action. It's that realm of choice and action.
Yeah. How do you, what do you say or speak about this? Does it align with the values that you hold in your heart? All those sorts of things. It's all connected. Yeah. You can't work on one without working on the other.
But no.
It is useful to have a focus.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I've heard of another, and I've got these sort of gems because I recently had a Sangha group which Andrew Wells is leading, and he comes out, his languaging of these things is so inspirational, I'd say. So he referred to Manipura as the golden chamber of magic.
Mm.
So that's quite, when you think about that, you think, oh, that's sort of is expansive in itself when you start thinking about your Manipura as a golden chamber of magic.
Powerful.
What could come out of it? Powerful, yeah.
Mm.
And then what stops us? It's usually something, it's usually a fear that stops us. It's usually something that we fall back into, some old way of being that stops us from lighting that wick and letting that light expand out.
I think you'd find that often blocks in that area are going to come back to kind of, you're building on your foundation, of course. So, any blocks you have about yourself is going to be a problem here. And any social programming or societal beliefs, family beliefs, all of those, they're connected to the first and second chakras too, but they will affect your sense of self, which is your third center. So that's probably what you're working with here, is how have those societal beliefs or cultural patterns translated into what you believe you're capable of. And what, where your power is, and have you given that away?
Have you given all that away?
Feed into, keeping the Manipura center strong and balanced.
Definitely, yeah. And just being aware of that and looking at those fears, we do have to look at them to be able to clear them. So it's like when they come up, what is stopping me? And can you just dig a bit deeper? But be kind to yourself in the process with that self-inquiry process. And sometimes we can do it ourselves, and sometimes it's good to have someone to bounce that off. Sometimes we need a source of inspiration from someone that we look up to, or someone that's already done what you want to do. Take your inspiration where you need it. Find someone. Sometimes a conversation is all it needs to unblock something. Sometimes it's just hearing what someone else has done that's enough for you to move on and know that you can do that too.
Yeah, it's sort of your center of aspiration, I suppose, isn't it?
Mm.
You can see what other people before you have done, and that's what inspires us.
Mm. And sometimes it is stepping into a little bit of discomfort to take that step, but that's always allowing us to grow, isn't it? It's like growing.
I think this is where we self-sabotage.
Yes.
Would you say that? Like, I've been thinking a lot about archetypes lately because I use them in my creative work as well. But everybody has the saboteur as an archetype. It's either an ally or it's a harmful process that you're still stuck in. And the task is to recognize when you are either being sabotaged by external factors or sabotaging yourself. Mm. And I think very much, you know, that Manipura chakra is where you will probably find that self-sabotage is seated, or where you can work with it rather.
In terms of claiming you getting,
claiming your power back and getting out of your own way.
Mm.
So they might be some of the challenges that come up, and the difficult part of it, perhaps the ironic part, is that we can self-sabotage our efforts to get over at that. You know, it's that if you have blocks to going to the mat today, you know, what is that about? And are you sort of subconsciously sabotaging those efforts because of old patterns and issues?
Mm.
Sometimes just asking the question is enough.
Yeah, sometimes it is. And then sometimes it's facing the fear and doing it anyway, isn't it? It's like, I feel it. It's not comfortable, but you know what? I'm going to go and do it anyway. And usually you are rewarded. And that's the reward coming from Manipura, from that golden center of light.
Yes, the magical chamber.
The magical chamber.
So we will leave you there to go and feel into that space and see what you can discover.
Explore that lustrous gem of Manipura chakra. Yeah. Let your light shine.
Indeed. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.